this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Best news is like it. 8 games on the trot, knocking Arsenal out of the FA Cup on their own turf. Great way to roll into the weekend. How you doing, mate?
Sir, what were the odds from the bookies for Ole to win his first 8 games? I would have liked to bet that. Unreal stuff from the Norwegian Hobbit. I mean, bringing joy to Manchester United fans around the world. I mean, Jose Mourinho, who?
Should be shying away from public relations, anything where he's on camera. You know, he just sounds as salty as ever. I think he was on BT last week or something. But he should keep his head down, bro, because Ole's Red Army is rolling at the moment. Absolutely unbelievable stuff. Playing lights out, shutting down teams, scoring counterattack goals. A lot to like.
A big win at Arsenal, at the Emirates. And we just showed them that they're still soft. They're still soft. They haven't got their form back. Unai Emery, he needed this win. I mean, this is a big match for them if you've been kind of observing their form of late. And I think us to go into their house and smash them for 3, I mean, feeling great. What a great way to start the weekend. Get on to the next round of the FA Cup, sir.
What's amazing, we had a defensive-minded coach, Mourinho, and they had a lot more chances the last time we played them under Mourinho. So I think the boys played really well today. You know, it was a little unorganized at the back during certain parts, but we looked like completely clinical on the counter and just showing what you're supposed to do in front of goal, which is finish. So hell of a game, hell of a performance. And like I said, Ole's Red Army, bro. We're marching on, sir.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we're talking about Manchester United 3, Arsenal 1 at the Emirates, FA Cup 4th round. Manchester United moving on. And there are quite a bit of changes in this lineup here, sir. I'm jumping into it. We had Romero in net. I mean, this was a huge surprise to me when I didn't see Dave Saves traveling with the squad, although I do know he probably needs a rest. But what do goalkeepers do anyway, really? Young, Bailly, Lindelof, Shaw, back 4. Bailly coming in. I really like this pick from Ole. For some reason, Bailly has not been featured, even though he has come back for injury. Maybe it's fitness. Who knows? We had the Herrera, Matic, Pogba midfield with Lingard, Lukaku, and Sanchez up top. You did call Sanchez playing the 4-3-3 away at the Emirates and, you know, going for their jugular. Sir, what do you think about this starting 11? I know there was quite a bit more changes than we thought.
There definitely were, sir. I think we were both wrong about, you know, the magnitude of changes, 4 or 5 when it was all said and done. But this is one of those formations and some changes that if you pull it off, you look brilliant. And if you lose, you look like an idiot. But he pulled it off, right? Good bringing in Bailly, good giving Romero some minutes and getting De Gea a little rest because we got a lot of games coming up. And good to rest your star strikers in Martial and Rashford. Give them a blow. You know, you don't want to start them every game. And that's how Tottenham got into the situation they're now in where their 2 best players are injured. So the fact that he can put
it's
in
only
Lukaku
Burnley,
and Sanchez.
Though. It's only Burnley. So I was a little surprised Rashford got the rest here.
Yeah, I think this is a trick straight out of the Fergie book. You know, it's like they've been playing well, but we have 2 other attacking players we need to get in form. Big game. Let's see if they can step up. And they both did, bro. Lukaku and Sanchez both had a great first half. Trailed off a little bit in the second half. I think the legs started wearing, but they had a great first half and, you know, help win us the game.
Hey, well, let's jump into that first half. At kickoff, Arsenal kind of start the better of the two. They have more juice in the tank, all that pace. Some tiny tots that are really fast in that team, sir, if you will. 11th minute, early chance from Pogba, from Sanchez, but Cech comes out, plays it well. 18th minute, Socrates goes down on his ankle awkwardly and needed to come off. A lot of stoppage time in this match. Defensively for Arsenal, 2 injuries here. Mustafi comes on to replace him, and the stoppage actually helped us out, gave us a break, and then we started hitting him pretty hard. We didn't have to wait long in the 31st minute.
Mustafi comes across, Lukaku coming into the middle, certainly
drifted away from his markers. Roby in the end, well, he's going to stop him on his left foot. It's a lovely ball for Alexis Sanchez, who goes round Cech and puts it into the net and scores for Manchester United against his old club at his former home on his return to the team. It's a goal that will be reviewed as to, I guess, an offside call, but it was put away with great expertise. Well, look at Solskjaer. I said he might be the man for the occasion here, Alexis Sanchez, and it looks as though that thought has produced some reality here.
Unreal vision from Lukaku to hit that pass into Sanchez, and I'm going to say the balance Sanchez has and the accuracy for him to hit that goal. I mean, I knew he was going to score at the Emirates because he seems to do the job when he's playing there, but still, that don't underestimate the skill required to pull that goal off.
Great skill from Sanchez and great from Lukaku, bro. Just to draw on the defenders. They think they're going to take it on his left, and he just passes it deftly on his right foot, perfectly weighted, and Sanchez does everything he needs to do, goes around the defender. Pogba almost, you know, touches it. Goal negated, but he kept his head down, and good goal, dude. Sanchez puts his arms up, tries not to celebrate, but all the United on-rushing players are going to stop that. He just has no choice but to celebrate, sir. Big game, big result.
But hey, you know, Lukaku came out, looked hungry, right? Now that you have people fighting for spots in the team, we have depth, you're going to see this rotation, and Lukaku is going to want to show that he should be taking that number nine role from Rashford, and this is exactly what you want to see. He came out hungry, and man, everyone thought he was going to shoot. I thought he was going to shoot, and he just dinks that slow through ball for all those FIFA players out there into Sanchez. Usually doesn't come off that well in FIFA, and you sure as hell don't finish it from that angle in FIFA either. But, I mean, hats off to see Sanchez scoring at the Emirates, exactly what we want from the Chilean, and Lukaku with the assist. So great stuff from the squad, and even more great stuff in the 33rd minute.
And what a decent ball too, and Manchester United are in again here with Lukaku, with Lingard, time to take a touch, time to score, 2-0 for the team from Old Trafford, and Lukaku has made both of them, one for Sanchez, one for Lingard. They've hit Arsenal with both barrels.
Well, we've got to give credit to Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for playing Romelu Lukaku on that right-hand side. Why does Koscielny try and step up to play offside here? There he goes, tries to step up, just defend the space. And from that moment on, 3-2, it was always going to be trouble for Arsenal. Composed finish, you have to say, from Lingard. Lukaku picks out the right pass. Decent first touch, players are racing back at him, but he just passes it beyond Pedicek. What a couple of minutes for Manchester United here.
Jesse Lingard, cool as you like.
Hysterical Sully from Lingard doing the moonwalk. he's a character.
Millie rocking, bro. Millie rocking. And what I say, sir, I'm not a big I told you so guy, but I'm going to tell you so right now. Lukaku could play on the wing. And it sounds crazy, right? Because sometimes his touch lets him down. But today, his touch was on. He had great hold up. You know, he wasn't the best as a point person, point striker like he was played under Mourinho. But I think he's got good touch, good movement, and I thought he showed some really good passing. This was a great dude, great to look up, great pass to Lingard. Lingard does beautifully, right? Controls the ball well, passes it in the back of the net, pass check. But good on Lukaku, bro, showing that like he still has a job to do at this club.
Yeah, and the celebration showed everything. Lukaku's passion. He was like fist pumping so hard after Lingard scored the goal. And what a control from Lingard. I thought his first touch let him down, but he stroke it easy as you like. Lower right-hand corner past Peter Cech, which is not an easy thing to do. You know, he's a great keeper, EPL legend, if you will. Somehow he's playing for Arsenal, not Chelsea here. But glad he let in these two, and the boys were rocking. I thought, you know, classic Arsenal, they got no spine. And then things started to kind of fray at the edges there. Arsenal started coming back towards the end of the half. But in the 43rd...
Ramsey. And Aubameyang gets one back. It's just what Arsenal needed with halftime approaching. Coming in at the right place at the right time. They were almost overloading the Manchester United defence in front of Romero there. And it was just a matter of who was going to tap it in. Aubameyang did.
I kind of slated Shaw on this goal here. He was in between Aubameyang and the play at the far post. I thought he should have been a little more alert given, you know, how dangerous Aubameyang is. And the ball fell to his feet, easy as you like. I mean, on a plate, we should not be giving it up. It just, we were out of sorts. Ramsey cut us open pretty good on the left-hand side, and that side was active for Arsenal all first half. But again, we're good to give away a goal. But to do this and not go in at half up two, I thought this kind of took the wind out of our sails.
No doubt. It took the wind out of our sails. Like you said, it was all Iwobi for Arsenal at the beginning of the first half, and then it was all Ramsey the end of the first half, beginning of the second half, because he was a difference maker for them and just keeping them in the game, creating good chances. But this one was a tough one. You know, we got cut through, and the ball kind of took a deflection and bounced right to Aubameyang. But got to do better. Don't want to give up those kind of goals at the end of the half when you're up away 2-0 off of very decisive counterattacking goals. So tough, Duke. Tough going into halftime, 2-1.
Yeah, there's a lot of wide-open Arsenal players there. And Ramsey, leaving Arsenal. Can you imagine that? Like, they didn't secure
Juventus.
Him. It's unbelievable that he is... Like, I don't know what went on there, probably contract negotiations, something, but Ozil's not playing, Ramsey's playing lights out, and they're not even re-signing him. So, sounds like Stan Kroenke, you know, is doing the job that we know he can for Arsenal.
About the same, sir. Status quo. I remember when Ramsey almost came to United 10 years ago, sir, but Fergie didn't lay out the red carpet to the same extent that Wenger did at the time, and he ended up choosing Arsenal, and... He's had a lot of injuries. He has been a class player at times, but moving on to Juventus, bro, quite a step up for the young. He's not young anymore, but for the Welshman,
Second half, yeah, not young. Second half, Arsenal come out hot again. Lots of good play coming through Ramsey. We didn't really plug up those holes. That's one thing that we have seen is when our team looks kind of out of sorts going in at half, coming out at half, we usually look the same. Now, I don't know, want to call that tactics or motivation or whatever it is. We are kind of weak when it comes to trying to clean it up a little bit or address those weaknesses on the pitch. In the 46th minute, Romero had a great save on Ramsey after some decent link-up play from Arsenal. And the 57th minute, strange injury on Koscielny. He, like, falls down. Big Luke bosses him off the ball. And I think he kind of, like, stepped on his head or his jaw. It was kind of strange. Lukaku alerted the referee right away, and I think he cut his left ear. So, sore cheekbone for Koscielny. I want to say it looked worse than that, but after seeing the replay, it didn't really add up to me. But again, a lot of stoppage time here, sir.
He's down for a while. I think it was just one of those freak injuries. You know, I think Lukaku didn't even spot him. He hit the deck when they were battling for a ball. And then he got kicked in the jaw, and apparently he's on the way or at the hospital getting his jaw examined to make sure, you know, Big Luke didn't break his jaw with that kickback. But that was actually another saving grace for United, because up to that point, Arsenal was definitely playing the better of that half, the same way in the first half. And then the injury gave United a chance to kind of recollect itself, let Ole and Phelan and McKenna and Carrick yell at the boys a little bit, tell them to get organized. And I think after they finally got Koscielny off, and made the switch, United looked like much better team. Pogba, after this, kind of like really grew into the game in the second half.
Yeah, taking out both their center backs will help us out a lot, right?
No doubt, mate.
71st minute, double sub. The Bash brothers, a.k.a. Martial and Rashford, replace Alexis and Lukaku. Both had great games. Interesting to see Ole just might as well throw him on for the kill shot. 73rd minute, Romero, still a lot to do. He had a great save on Lacazette after he finds some space against Shaw. Again, Shaw looked a little weak on the left-hand side. You know, he has some defensive work to do, as all our defenders do. And in the 82nd minute,
holds his position, Pogba goes it alone. It's pushed out for Martial, and Manchester United are heading for the fifth round of the FA Cup. There was the counter-attack. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has used his substitutions. It could have been for Rashford. In the end, it came for Martial. And it's Arsenal 1, Manchester United 3.
Again, it all starts with Pogba, Roman Ford with the ball. Beast of a shot, and Martial finishes it cleanly. I celebrated pretty hard here. This is exactly what we needed, the kill shot. Arsenal mate, easy as you like.
Sir, woke up the dog. Dog was sleeping. Wasn't much action between, you know, in the last 40 minutes. Woke him up with this reaction. You know, Pogba could have passed left. Pogba could have passed right. Decided to take it on his own, and it landed very, very fortuitously for Mr. Anthony Martial. But, dude, great finish. Check, can't do anything about it. Game, set, match, bro. Arsenal looked done and dusted after this goal.
Yeah, and Pogba really likes taking it on the defense, right? When you get, he has those long strides into the box, he usually takes it in himself. He doesn't really play it out left or right. I think he had another chance, and he was fouled earlier in the game as well when he decided to take it in on his own. But hey, when he beasts that shot and there's a rebound, you know, glad Martial's there to clean it up. But Pogba, the difference maker, right? We talked about this the other day, and I said, you know, we have Paul Pogba on our team. He's got to be top five in the world, and he's the difference maker. He was a difference at Tottenham, probably the difference in this game at the end of the day, if you look at it. Clearly Lukaku with some class on the assist, but Pogba really beasting the midfield and the tip of the spear going forward, especially when you have the likes of Martial and Rashford on the field when Pogba's there. Lots of options, defenders scrambling, and United look deadly going forward. I mean, ole, ole, ole.
Sir, no doubt. I think Lukaku probably won his man of the match in the first half, just getting, you know, being so involved in those two goals. But overall, whole game, Pogba locked down the second half. You know, even before we got this third goal, he was instrumental. Anytime we turn the ball over, we'd get to him, and it would all go through Paul. So he is showing that world-class ability. The more he gets on the ball, the better he looks, the more involved he is. So Paul Pogba, bro, that head is big. We got to keep pumping that head up, bro. The bigger, the better. You got it.
He's keep blowing up that ego. Pogba, he pushes people off the ball. That's what I love. It's like the Arsenal, he just puts out his arm, like stiff arms, the Arsenal players, creates more separation. He's just a specimen, and we got to do everything we can, pay that man, him and Dave saves right now. Him, De Gea, and Rashford, I would say. Those are the three that we cannot
Herrera.
Lose. You know, there's a lot. He's peripheral. I mean, I would rate Martial more important than him. If you're going to do a depth chart, who's most important on our team? It's probably Dave saves, Pogba right behind him, and then Rashford I would put there as well in his current form. 85th minute, things popping off after a head-to-head between Rashford and Kolasinac. Lingard gets involved, you know, with some little dance moves, talking smack, crowd jeering, everyone getting fired up here. Jesse Lingard, his high-pitched voice, I don't think he's intimidating anyone.
So he's not intimidating anyone. Those goals and the way he played today might intimidate a few of the Gunner fans. But this is good, bro. You know, I like to see some bad blood, like the players popping off. You know, Rashford got, like, all up in his defender's face after, you know, some off-field tickling, if you will. So
it's not, like, I don't the mind. Same as, like, it was, though. It's
no,
not
it's
like
not.
Those,
it's like, this
it's 2019, like, it's
bro.
A little
manufactured. The game's gone soft, sir.
No, it's yeah, like, it's these are the millennials, nothing, bro. They're not, like, back in the day, this was, like, this was war. Now
it's not
like
Roy Keane, mate.
Patty cake, you know, patty cake. It's not like, you know, Jesse kind of fronting after a play. It was pretty soft. No one's going to go at each other. The challenges aren't
hard to please, sir.
Were,
you're hard to please.
You know? It's hard to look at the Arsenal players. They're so soft, and even United.
Well, I know. I'm not going to argue that, but still, hey, it's still good to see, sir. It's still good to see. A little passion.
It's not like we have a James Milner on our team. Like he's a guy who could be going a time machine, go back to 1996 and be right in the squad, putting in those challenges. We just don't have that, you know, brute or that edge anymore to our squad. And English football is changing, and England, the team is changing, and we have quite a few of those. Those players on our team don't need to be as caveman-esque, if you will. 93rd minute, Rashford nearly grabs a fourth after a great play from Martial, and that was all she wrote. Arsenal easily dealt with by United, and this is a way, again, remember, we looked, like you said earlier, we looked better going forward, taking it to them than we did when we defended under Jose. We didn't need Romero to bail us out too much. We didn't miss David De Gea, which I thought we would. I thought that could be a difference maker today
no
when
doubt.
I saw he was in this squad. But, I mean, great to see the stadium empty. You know, I think there was 10 minutes of stoppage time because all the injuries. But the Arsenal fans, you know, can't wait to watch that Arsenal fan TV, man.
No, they got to beat that traffic, sir. They got to beat that traffic.
Yeah, that London traffic. They just got to get on the tube. It's just all is right with the world when you go into the Emirates and you boss them around like we did. And as a Manchester United fan, I can't say it enough. Going from the doldrums of Mourinho to the 8-8 under Ole, I mean, it is... I'm like...
Feels surreal, sir. If it doesn't feel like it actually happened. It's like, I can't even believe that we've won 8 games in the trot. I can't believe that they actually fired Mourinho before New Year's. And I can't believe the run we're on, the way the players are playing, the way the players are talking. Not only about their own ability, about their teammates' ability, and about this team's potential, but about the club, about the coach, about the fans. I mean, it's like, it's everything any fan could have asked for and more. No one, like you said, bookie, what's the chance of winning 8 on the trot? They probably didn't even have those odds. I'm sure they didn't back in the day. But unbelievable stuff, bro. At the end of the day, the reason we won this game is because we were far more clinical when we had the opportunities. They had a lot of the ball. They were around our box, but they weren't doing as much with it. When we got the ball, we went right at them and tried to get a goal, always. And that's like, that's the difference. That shows the old school Manchester United philosophy, the way we used to take it to them back in the day, dude. Just let them have the ball, and then you counter ruthlessly. And we did it again.
I'm speechless. I'm without speech.
There you go, sir.
But you know what I am happy about? I'm happy I'm going to get that that dinner when we go to do London.
Good money, sir. Happy to buy it, mate.
I did believe that there was a chance we could fire Mourinho, and, you know, hey, got me a free dinner. There you go. Let's jump in and check in with the legend keeps on growing, the manager of Manchester United, Ole.
A massive step forward for us performance-wise as a team. The structure in the team was miles, miles better compared to, say, Tottenham a couple of weeks ago, where we hung in there, where David saved us. Today, obviously, Sergio had a fantastic save just the beginning of the second half, but I thought our structure was miles, miles better. We've been working on that because we need to dig in and defend properly against good teams.
I mean, who would have thought that Ole would have a shot at the permanent job at Manchester United? You know, I was arguing Poch, and even now, I just can't even argue for Pochettino anymore, right?
I'm like, he's learning, dude. Big, he's Poch, like a learning guy. Computer, bro.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? It's just, that's the way it goes.
Sir, sentiment has changed. Positivity is back. I mean, if they keep winning, right? Let's reevaluate. I agree. But like right now, it's a two-horse race in my mind. Those two are the front runners. And Ole is giving a lot of things for Mr. Eddie Woodward to think about because he's brought a next level out of this team. He's brought good vibes. Everyone wants to stay around, right? Players are going to be signing new contracts, I would imagine, within the next 30 days. So we'll see, man. It's gonna be a tough decision, right? But we got some other big games coming up. Let's see how we do against PSG. We will be at that game because we need that train to keep rolling, bro. And we got to keep rolling against Burnley, too, because, you know, there's no small games when you're still tied for six in the Premier League.
Hey, and at least it's going to be an exciting season, and so we have something to be positive about. I mean, could you imagine if Mourinho was still here, or we were like dropping to eighth, and there was no chance to top four? Now we're in the FA Cup. I think we have a good chance to pip PSG. Top four is a race. We're the best of the three teams in it. I mean, you look at everything going on at this club right now, the attitude of the players, the youngsters getting in, and there is nothing, there's not one piece of criticism. We went from being like the saddest pod. Like, I think you didn't even want to do the pod anymore. It was getting blue, sir.
It was getting depressing to do it. It was like breakdown games where we had two shots on net. You know, and this was not this is probably like one of the lowest shot targets we've had under Ole. But it was exciting football. It was a good open game. You know, it was like, it was always been exciting to watch. Positive stuff. Sir, it got really dark. It got really dark in October. You know, it's like October, September was tough. Tough running a pod. So
it's always darkest before the dawn, sir. Always darkest before the dawn. Let's check in with our man of the match, Big Luke.
In training yesterday, I said, listen, you're going to score tomorrow, and I will give you the ball. As long as you run when I'm inside, if I can't shoot, just run, and I'll find you. And I think you could see when I got the ball, I was looking at him, and he made the right run. And then the finish for him was incredible. It was a good finish.
A great counter-attacking goal for Jesse's goal as well, which you were obviously heavily involved in. Very threatening on the counter-attack today, United.
Yeah, definitely, because we knew they would leave space. The fullbacks would push on. And then for us, me and Alexis, who was about to be in a sort of a cheating position. So when we recover, it would be like 3-3 or 3-2. And, you know, we had a lot of moments where we could have countered better, especially in the second half. I think we could have scored maybe 2 or 3 more goals, to be honest. But, you know, 3-1 winning at Arsenal, the way how they play, they don't lose a lot this season. So it's good.
Sir, you're the big Lukaku fan here. I'll let you comment on his man of the match performance.
No, like I said, I think the first half basically cemented his award for man of the match. Dude, basically, you know, creating both goals, having a big part in those opening two. He had less of an impact in the second half. I think he started to show that he was tired. Him and Alexis, I would have pulled them maybe 65th minute. But he had a great game. Shows that he's an awesome option for us to have. You know, he's not going to be taking Rashford's spot as, you know, the number one frontman at the very top of the pecking order. But he's a threat. He's dangerous. He provided 2 assists today as a guy who's normally known as just a poaching striker. So no reason to think about Lukaku outside of this team anytime soon, bro. He's got a role to play.
Hey, I like how there's competition, right? So Rashford needs to be played number 9, and Lukaku needs to be played number 9, and they should be swapped out like for like. And right now, I think it's Rashford's starting job. So Lukaku comes in cup matches. Lukaku comes in when there's tight fixtures, and Rashford is our bang-on starter. And like you said, Rashford came in the last 10-15. When we play Burnley, Lukaku will come on the last 10-15. I think it's a great depth chart we have right now. And if Rashford goes cold, you bring in Big Luke, and that is going to motivate Rashford even more. So it's a win-win when you have great players fighting for their job.
And you know what? Eventually we're going to need to chase a game, sir. I know we have a whole different ethos now of actually like trying to close out games, but we're eventually going to have to be behind, have to get goals. So it's good to be able to have, you know, throw on an Alexis Sanchez or a Romelu Lukaku instead of a Scott McTominay.
This defense is going to catch up with us.
But what'd you say?
I said this defense is going to catch up with us eventually. It's going to happen.
No doubt. It already is. I mean, it already is. We're already leaking goals. We shouldn't have leaked a goal in this game, but the defense never disappoints, do they?
No, they don't. All right, match reaction stats-wise, Arsenal 64% of the ball, United 36%. Shots on target, Arsenal had 5 to Manchester United's 4. So pretty even across the board, but we were obviously more clinical. Manchester United have won 6 matches in all competitions at the Emirates, more than any other visiting side has managed since Arsenal moved there in the start of the 2006-2007 campaign. Thank you, Stan Kroenke. Since losing 2-1 to Arsenal in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup in March 2015, Manchester United have won more FA Cup matches than any other team. We've only taken the cup down once. So silverware is the only stat that matters, not those wins.
That's true.
And Manchester United have registered 8 consecutive wins in all competitions for the first time since January 2017. Amazingly, we actually had a stretch of 8 wins because Josie didn't make us feel like it, to say the least.
So there wasn't a happy 8 wins. You know, the amount of positivity that we're feeling right now, I don't think was ever at United. Even when we had some of those stretches, we were playing lights out football, and we started not this season, but the season before with just 4 nils on the trot. There's something different because everyone seems to be walking and talking the Manchester United way again. Because even under Mourinho, we weren't doing that at our best. And now everyone's talking like Fergie used to talk and Fergie's lads used to talk. So that might be the difference maker for Ole getting the job ultimately, is the fact that everyone is adopting this kind of old school ethos, talking about the club like it used to be talked about. And bring that fear factor back, dude. People are starting to fear us again, and that is going to be huge.
Sir, it's called mojo.
We got it.
We haven't had mojo since we brought in that goblin-looking David Moyes motherfucker. And now we finally have our mojo really back. We have our
riding,
mojo
baby.
Back.
Mojo
it's
riding.
Been 6 years, sir. 6 years we haven't had this attitude, this, you know, I don't want to say arrogance, confidence, you could say, but now our confidence is going to turn into arrogance because we think we're going to smoke teams. Arsenal looked afraid. People are defending coming to Old Trafford again. I remember the teams would be attacking us at Old Trafford because we were so afraid. We lacked so much mojo, but now, sir, it's getting scary again. I'm telling you, the Red Devils are back, and that's why you can't get rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the moment.
Sir, change of tune. I like that change. Because swagger's back, bro. We're like Millie rocking, you know, into the next round of the FA Cup, playing well. Everyone looks like they want to be playing for this team, for this manager. let's just keep that going, baby. Keep that train moving.
Keeping on, sir. Since the start of the 2014-15 season, Alexis Sanchez scored 41 goals in all competitions at the Emirates, 40 for Arsenal and 1 for Manchester United.
There you go, sir.
I mean, he does like to score there. Doesn't really like to score in any other place for Manchester United. But let's hope this is the spark that ignites the Sanchez mojo. He had some good social media after the game. Take that for what it's worth. Manchester
good
United.
Good game, though, too, right? I mean, he played well. I mean, I would say games he played well at, right? Like Tottenham in the semifinal last year. The City comeback, he played well in. Yeah. But this is one of the better performances. I mean, he played really well, so.
He's a B team.
First real starter under Ole.
He's still B. He's the highest paid B team
because Martial and Rashford are so lights out.
Yeah, he's not taking Martial's spot on the left. Just 149 seconds separating Manchester United's first and second goals. They scored with their first two efforts on target. That's called luck, my man, and you need that when you're going to playing away from home. And Romelu Lukaku has scored 13 goals and assisted 4 in his last 15 FA Cup appearances. No one will doubt Lukaku's stat streak, but you know he has been a little off this season. And glad to see he's finally feeling it and you know coming in, earning that spot. And obviously, Jesse Lingard has scored 4 goals for Manchester United against Arsenal in all competitions. Double the number he has scored against any other opponent for the Red Devils. And for some reason, Jesse Lingard loves the FA Cup, and he loves doing the job at the Emirates. So pretty much everything you could predict did happen today.
And then some. I mean, amazingly so. I only could have only hoped that both Jesse and Alexis would score. Martial got a goal. My boy Luke got 2 assists. And then, you know, the end of the game, Martial and Rashford get to come on and just look like, dude, nothing like them running against a tired Arsenal defense because they just look unstoppable as well. You know, like even their 25-minute cameo or 20-minute cameo, whatever it was enough. I got to see more of those boys because they look hot, hot, hot.
Absolutely. And, sir, you got to give us your spicy tomorrow's Daily Mail headlines today. Hit us with those headlines.
Sir, I'll give it a chance. I don't have as much spice, you know, as the guys banging away over the Daily Mail, but let's give it
a
go.
You need some play on words, sir. I think it's
yes. Well, sir, I'm not a wordsmith. I'm not a wordsmith. I'm more the literal guy. Here we go. So let's go.
You're getting there.
Oh, I'm working on it. You know, it's a work in progress. Ole's Fantastic Four. So 4 attacking options in Rashford, Martial, Lukaku, and Sanchez. In my mind, is reminiscent of our front four that we had during the treble run. Not the front four, but our 4 strikers that we had at our disposal. In Yorkie, Dwight York, Andy Cole, obviously, Ole, 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 Solskjaer, and Teddy Sheringham. So we ain't winning the treble this year. Hopefully we pick up some silverware. Hopefully, I'm confident we're going to finish in the top 4. But these guys are all young.
Confident.
Right? I mean, they're all young. Alexis is not young, but everyone else is young. Lukaku will be the next oldest, 26. So it's good to have, bro, because you can't just have 1 or 2 strikers. You need to have, like, 2 to 3 to 4 ideally strikers, and these guys can all play up front. They can pivot out wide. Good options to have, and that's what we used to need in order to win some serious silverware.
Yeah, and it was funny. I was watching the BBC broadcast, and Gary Lineker was like, "It's almost like we forgot Manchester United have a lot of good players on their team." It was like Mourinho skunked everyone so hard that we forgot we have Sanchez, Lukaku, you know, Martial, Lingard, like all these great players, you know, play great for England, international stars. And yeah, they can all play well if they're managed correctly. So Ole's Fantastic Four, sir. Hit us with your next headline.
Next one is 2-horse race, ? So we know Poch is near the top of the manager list, but honestly, it's got to be down to him and Ole at the
moment, right, sir? That's not a spicy headline.
They don't all have to be spicy, mate. The topic will be spicy, all right? let's be positive, mate.
Sir, Daily Mail's going to fire you.
It's okay. It's okay. They don't pay well anyway.
Is it a 2-horse race? I would say it's Ole's to lose.
Feels like
it looks like it's Ole's to lose. And I was like, we started this. I was like, great to see Ole there. Glad the players are playing well and they're having fun in training. 3 wins. I was like, okay, great. But we can't take our eye off the ball with Pochettino. He's a long-term solution for Manchester United. And right now, like, why deal with the brain damage trying to get him out of Tottenham? Why not just, like, give it to Ole? You don't mess it up. When these players are playing well, and especially if they all want to re-sign, and if they do re-sign, You do not mess with that dressing room.
You don't have to convince me, sir. You don't have to convince me. I think given where we are, what we need to be done, and like, you know, as you said before about Mourinho, he said so often that our players were shit that he convinced us, and he probably convinced the players themselves. So if it all it took was just like some modern day tactics, listening to your assistant coaches and making the players feel like they have some self-worth, that might be enough to unlock it, bro, because right now this team is playing in a way that I haven't seen us play since Fergie. We had no one, maybe like a game or two, but never like this on a consistent basis, right? Showing good tactics, making changes and adjustments within the game, during the game, switching up the front, still keeping that midfield three, man. That's the same midfield three we've seen for how many games now in the trot? I think it's almost every game, so other than Reading probably in the FA Cup. But amazing stuff. Amazing stuff from Ole.
He can do no wrong, sir. Hit us with your next spicy Daily Mail headline.
It's not that sorry, putting me on a pedestal. Not that spicy. But Sanchez to finally justify contract ? Like I said earlier, I think this is one of his best performances as a United player. He is not a young player, but I think he can finally start hitting that top gear that we had seen at Arsenal, that we'd seen at Barcelona, and why United splashed the cash on his, you know, $1 million a day contract or whatever we pay him. Because he looked like his old hungry self today.
Yeah, he's got to buy all that premium dog food for his dogs. Let's check in with the Twitterverse here. A lot of accolades across the board, all positive. Checking in with @SamuelLuckhurst, great follow on Twitter. Quote, so many brilliant players struggle in management, but Solskjaer has imparted his wisdom effortlessly. Be it finishing, adapting to a new position, or squad rotation, what a sensational 5 weeks it has been. #MUFC. I mean, couldn't say it better myself. Exactly that, 5 weeks, and this could be a case study at Harvard Business School, sir.
Could end up being, sir. Let's see what what effect this season has on our trophy cabinet. By the summer, but really, just like unbelievable stuff. Ole, maybe what Ole's greatest skill is the fact that he doesn't have the same ego as players that coaches that have come before.
He's
a student
an ego.
Of the game.
He hides as much.
I didn't say he doesn't have an ego, but not a, he need dude. You need to have an ego, of course. You need to be confident in yourself and have a lot of like self confidence for sure. But compared to Jose or LVG or even dopey ass David Moyes, bro, it's like he is open to help, right? Bringing back Phelan was a masterclass. Bringing Fergie into training is a masterclass, bro. It's just like, why not? You have access to some of the best coaches around, some of the best coaches in history. They're still attached to this club. Invite them over. But I think people, you know, Jose probably had the same option to do so, but his ego wouldn't allow it. Whereas I think Ole, he's open, bro. Whatever it takes to win.
All right, some more hype train fuel for the fire. @MUFC_8/8, 22 goals. Fans are buzzing. Players are buzzing. Staff are buzzing. We got our club back. OGS and Phelan are the two to take this club forward. And again, as a stern supporter of Mauricio Pochettino, I have to agree. You know, let the Argentinian manager drown at Tottenham, because I think that Ole, short of Ole losing every game for the rest of the year, this is his job. And when you look at Pogba and you can get the best out of him, it's like it changes the team. It changes the team, right?
Especially
absolutely.
You get the best out of everybody.
And Rashford, right? I mean, it's like De Gea always showed up under Mourinho regardless, right? Rashford wilted. Pogba clearly wasn't even playing, right? Lukaku seemed to be okay. Martial didn't do well. So, you know, he just took all those players and just, boom, 150% turnaround. And like I said, ain't broke, do not fix it. Next tweet, @ManUnited's update. And this is a point we have not discussed. Lindelof versus Arsenal, 100% tackles won, 100% aerial duels won, 82% pass accuracy, 9 clearances, 1 block, 0 fouls, Iceman. Snowflake emoji. And
sir, Iceman cometh, mate.
We don't talk about our defense very often. We don't talk about defensive stats very often because they're not that sexy, but Lindelof deserves a shout out. I also think Ashley Young flew in to a few tackles there, saved a few kind of speculative balls into the box. Arsenal, their possession was really deep in our final third, and it required a lot of last-ditch cleanup, and Lindelof kind of top of the list as far as defenders. He's really coming into form, and that's exactly what we need right now at Manchester United.
I mean, Lindelof's a standout performer for sure, but I have to admit, I think the defense just looked more organized, even with the amount of possession that Arsenal had. You know, we just looked more organized than we had. We looked under Ole at the beginning of his reign, and even Mourinho back, you know, back when he still existed. Who's Mourinho? I don't even remember him now at this point.
Our defense looks pretty scrappy and last ditch. Like, it's like, it's like a bend not break
philosophy, right?
Exactly. Or, you know? But the problem is, we go forward so well, coming back, it's such like a last-ditch effort to try to address the defending players are kind of running around. And, you know, it is pretty scrappy. You'd like to see that attacking going forward and the organization going back more like a Tottenham have that's more sustainable. But right now, just paper over the cracks because Eddie Woodward ain't signing no defenders.
Not in January, sir. Not in January. I think we're going to have to wait until summer.
Next tweet, at Red Devil Times on Twitter. Dear Arsenal, we destroyed you in the past. We destroyed you today. And we will destroy you in the future. We are Manchester United. Ruthless. Love this tweet. Says it all. We own the Emirates. We own Arsenal. And if you're looking for some entertainment, Arsenal Fan TV is going to be a joy to watch. Thanks, Dan Kroenke.
All weekend,
really looking
sir.
At you.
All weekend, mate. All weekend. Amazing stuff. Get your free entertainment. Once you've listened to the American Devil's latest podcast, go check out Arsenal TV for a couple laughs, because they'll just be moaning.
Robbie, moaning mate, like what you've are never we going to do? Oh,
no. David Day and hey. No, just, yeah. So, you know, you'll see it.
Kolasinic, mate. Should have been a red. It'll be tough times. Sir, we do this because we always got a next match. And we got a tight turnaround here. We usually split these podcasts up, but I am on the road, and we are previewing Manchester United versus Burnley at Old Trafford. League action, really important for that top four. Tuesday, January 29th at 12 p.m. Ooh, fitting firing, sir. Feeling good about this one. United have faced Burnley 9 times in the Premier League, winning 5, drawing 3, and losing 1. We've won 3 of our last 5 meetings with 2 draws, having both come at Old Trafford. How are you feeling about Burnley this matchup, sir?
Sir, I feel a little bit like I felt going to Brighton, you know, coming off the huge win against Spurs. This is probably not as, you know, hard of a performance. We probably had a little bit more in the driver's seat in this game versus Arsenal than we were at Spurs. That was like really, you know, everything you got kind of performance. But Burnley, bro, they could be a tough one. You know, they're gonna sit almost everyone behind the box, behind the ball. Excuse me. It's gonna be tough to break down. We're gonna have to be quick. I think you're gonna see some of that squad move around a little bit. But they're definitely one of those teams that could be, you know, like a 0-0. You know, tough to get a goal out of them. But hoping United just tear them apart like we've shown we can.
Yeah, a little history on Burnley. They're actually one of the 12 founding members of the Football League in 1888. So they've been around for a little bit. They are nicknamed the Clarets, and that's due to the dominant color of their home shirts, kind of that dark purple. They have a hysterical badge. I thought it was Legos the first time I saw it. You should check
it
out.
What is a claret, sir? Is that just the color?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Hard to say. they've been champions of England. They've been champions of England twice, 1920, 21, 1959, 1960, and they've won the FA Cup once in 1914. So all those fans that enjoyed all those titles are most likely dead. So the Burnley fans looking for something. They play at Turf Moor. Hysterical,
Mordor.
Sir. Turf Mordor.
Turf Mordor.
Burnley are 3 points above the drop in 16th place on 22 points. They are desperate. And, you know, when you deal with these desperate teams, you never know what can happen. They could defend really well. They could hit us on the counter.
Well, that's a tough thing. Coming off a bunch of big wins, you're playing at home, a team that you should bury. Burnley could be tough. They could be tricky. You know, a draw is definitely not out of the realm possibility. But, sir, we're going to UK in about 2 weeks, mate, and I would love for United to continue this run up until our Fulham game, and then
that makes me more nervous, sir.
I know it does. I know. I'm just saying that.
I don't want that because that's going to be the kill shot.
Bad luck.
The kill shot's going to show up.
Well, I hope not.
We don't want to be the jinx in all, the greatest jinx in all of Manchester. But let's check in with the physioroom.com for the injuries. A few of them, obviously, Rashford and Shaw were recently back at this match. Fellaini is out. Calf strain, February 24th. Rojo still has that mysterious knock. I, again, don't think he will ever feature for Manchester United. He's probably going to be on the way out. And Chris Smalling, this injury is nagging. He has not been back yet. And, you know, there's a chance he could make it for Burnley. He's a slight doubt, but I do not think he's going to make it, sir.
I don't think he's going to make it. We could use him, bro, because I think Baye is going to take Jones' spot back, because Jones came out as a sub at the very end of the game, and he just classic Jones, you know, just like got all the physical skills, but mentally he just doesn't seem to be there. He just seems to like make these gaffes that are unbelievable, and he made, even in like his, you know, 10-minute cameo, he made some of
them.
Hey,
he'll do great on a championship side, I think.
But like right Burnley, he'd do great in Burnley.
Yeah, you can keep Baye, Lindelof, and Smalling, and you could sign another world-class center back for $100 million, and that might fix the job, right? Create more competition, raise the bar for everyone. I think it'd be great. Checking in with the bookies, booking the bookies. I rated that plus 175 in the FA Cup against Arsenal. Came good again, so if you're listening to my picks here, you are making money.
Good money. Making good money, sir.
Burnley, this one you don't want to bet because the odds makers, they kind of know the result. Burnley plus 1,200 to win. So clearly we are the favorites at minus 550. Manchester United, and the draw is plus 650. So when you look at these types of odds, the only thing you could play is the draw. And again, I think the boys are going to steamroll Burnley at home. Sir, what is your lineup? Who do you got?
My lineup, I got Dave Saves coming back after a little break. I'm doing a back four of Dalot, Lindelof, Baye, Shaw. And then a midfield three of Herrera, Fred, and Pogba. I'm going to give Matic a break.
How he dare break. You? How dare
Sir,
you?
He's been playing lights out. Him and Herrera have both been playing great. But you do need to rotate the squad. We got big games coming up. So I'm going to put him on the bench. And then I'm going to have a front three of Lingard, Rashford, Tony Martial, came from France.
All right, sir, I'm going to say Dave Saves in net. I'm going to say Ashley Young, Lindelof, Baye. I'm going to say Dalot coming into left back again. I didn't think Shaw looked great against Arsenal. That was concerning. Herrera, Matic, and Pogba in the midfield. Lingard, Rashford, and Martial up top. Back to the basics here on the front six. And then getting Dalot some action at that left back spot because he looked good. Looked dangerous going forward. And a little better than Shaw. What do you think the score is going to be? I know we both predicted the win against Arsenal, so we're kind of, all of our predicting the wins are kind of on point now that Ole is a manager in Manchester United, so.
It makes it much easier, sir. When you win every game, we're always right.
I think we predicted one loss, like, the entire year. It was, like, Juventus, maybe. So
I think a draw. Yeah, maybe a draw or a loss.
Take you our might, predictions yeah. with a grain of salt there. There you go.
Go through them. Go through all 99 podcasts before this and see how many times we were wrong. Quite a few, I'm sure. Sir, I'm calling 2-0 at home. Clean sheet, but they're going to take some time to break down. We'll get the goals in the second half. Sir, I'm just calling it like I see it.
4-0, Paul Pogba, hat trick.
4-0. Hat trick, there you go. First hat trick in a minute.
We're back. No worries, Pogba. Just, you know, dancing all over the pitch, enjoying it. Easy as you like, sir.
I like the sound of it, bro.
All right, you know it's January, and you might not think it's January because there ain't no transfer talk regarding Manchester United. Sir, you are the head scout. The chief scout at the American Red Devils podcast. Let us know anyone we're linked to. We get to sign anyone. What's the latest smoke that
Here's
you're
the
seeing
update.
Out there?
Here's the update. Talk to Woody. I got off the phone with Woody, you know, right before we did this podcast.
You call him Woody on the phone?
Woody. Call him Woody about, you know, latest noodle deals on this side of the pond. There is nothing doing in January, folks. Nothing doing. To all of our Manchester United fans out there listening, don't hold your breath because nothing's
the
happened this year.
The balls on that motherfucker, bro. Like, the balls on
he's just
not to sign someone is like, what is, dude,
largely justified, mate.
That is, I mean, like, he did fire Mourinho. He got lucky with Ole. I mean, a lot of the things he's done, he's gotten lucky with. If you look at, like, compared to David Gill, he's, you know, can't even mention the same sentence here. But man, Ed Woodward, like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what are you doing?
Well, you know what? To be fair, I've not been a defender of Ed Woodward, but if we're not signing anyone in January, you know, we might sound like a 16, 17 year old prospect that's going to go to the youth system. If we can focus on just like signing our key marquee players that are out of contract to new contracts, I am more than satisfied, bro.
Defense, we need top four, like, dude. The reason why we're so far off top four is because he didn't fire Jose soon enough, and that's his fault.
That's true.
And we need reinforcements to get the top four. No excuses. Play like a champion. Sir, continue.
All right, sir. So there's three targets that apparently are, you know, the latest bullshit that we're apparently identifying. First is DeLitt, the center back, the Dutch center back from Ajax. His teammate just got bought by Barcelona for like £50 million, and these are two of the highest rated young players in Europe. He's a target. He'd be a great project, right? He's like a very good passer. He's not huge. He's only 6'2", but he's got a lot of potential. Good on the ball. Obviously, he's stepping up to a much bigger league, but Barcelona have their eyes on him. So he's going to be very difficult to pry away, but who knows? Maybe he wants to play on the legend that is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But
yeah, Van der Sar's over there. He can be our double agent. I'm sure if Manchester United are interested, he would push a player to Manchester United as well.
He's a great, you know, he's a prospect, to be fair. So I know we all need a bang-on starter, right? We need a Koulibaly. But this, a guy like him is just a sign that you don't really turn your back on, because he could be a starter for, you know, 10 years, given how young he is and how much potential he has. So keep your eyes on him. We might get pipped by Barcelona. They might be just using us for leverage, but he'd be a hell of a signing. The next, much farther from the truth, much more unlikely, it's Mbappe. Apparently, we have been sniffing around Mbappe, see if he would be interested in completing that front three trio that would just be absolutely lights out of him, Rashford, and Martial.
Dude, but Mbappe on the right wing would be like, it would be ridiculous. See ya, mate. See ya. Like, I say you get Martial. Sanchez. Yeah. I mean,
no problem. Easy money.
Stupid. And he's French as well. The French connect. I would love Mbappe, but I'm giving this one a million shit emojis, poo emojis. That's not happening.
Sir.
Not happening in January. We're going to be linked with every player.
None of these happen in January.
If it heats up in the summer, you never know, right? You never know how things are going to go. Mbappe seems to be on the trade block. I do think PSG is going to dish Neymar because it's unhappy. I doubt they get rid of both him and Neymar because PSG is on that mission to win the Champions League. We shall see, sir. Hit us with our next transfer target.
Let's ruin their dream of winning the Champions League. They have to go through United first. The last one, this is actually probably the most likely transfer to happen of all three that I'm going to talk about. Not in January, but probably like could happen in the summer. And that's Mexican star Irving Lozano. Has been attached to us for a while. Plays on the right wing. And scored a bunch of goals in the Dutch league, I believe. But he's another risk because he's been really talented. He's looked good on the Mexican national team, but making the step up to the Premier League is not always easy to do. So keep an eye on that one. But it is definitely possible, most possible of these three signings, but it would have to wait till the summer.
Hey, Chicharito came off good. And the Dutch league is a good feeder league into the EPL. Lozano looked lights out at the World Cup. He's fast. I've been getting murked by him on FIFA and FIFA Ultimate Team quite a bit.
There you go, sir. You know, he's a head scout.
He's feisty. You know, Mexican players, they got that extra little bite in them versus, you know, some softer nationalities. we could come up with.
We will not name those. We will not name those.
Again, he's an enemy of the U.S. men's national team. So I do have some, you know, I guess some allegiances there that are counter to Lozano coming to United. But hey, anyone who comes in to play on the right wing, I'm going to cheer for. And, you know, he's a great prospect, and a lot of people are interested, so cannot complain. All right, let's jump into United in the news, sir. Our first article comes from Paul Pogba's brother. Paul Pogba would only leave Manchester United for Barcelona or Real Madrid. Quote, when my brother eventually leaves Manchester United, he can only go to three teams to improve: City, Real Madrid, or Barca. He will not go to City, so he will come to Spain, either to Real, Barca, and that is it. So Pogba's brother just yapping to the press. I'm sure Pogba has let him know he could say this. Do not like his brother doing Pogba's PR here. His brother has his own professional career he should be worried about. I don't know why he's trying to get in the papers yipping about his brother.
It's a lot. It's too much about Pogba leaving. For my liking, you know, every time we hear him, someone's talking about
Pogba. this is because Mourinho's no longer there, right? Mourinho's trying to put a lid on it. The one thing that Mourinho did try to do, he tried to put a lid on all this riffraff and social media that Pogba's thrown out there. Clearly, Ole is just saying, do whatever you want. But this is not something that his brother should be saying. If you know, it should be focusing on the team, the 8 wins,
talking about how well he's
top
playing.
Four. Yeah, why talk about this? He's
no,
a
no need,
out.
No need.
It's like there's no need. He should say my brother's the best in the world. He should win the Ballon d'Or, sir. Right? Like, what about that instead of talking about
the Balloon d'Or, mate? The Balloon d'Or, Manchester United.
Like, yeah, talking up.
Yeah,
City.
How can you even
right,
say that?
About, yeah. What do you mean, bro? All right. Another article. Next article. Talking about the ex-girlfriend, Mourinho gagged by Manchester United as part of £18 million payoff. Hysterical for a few reasons. Jose would love to troll Manchester United, but you know what? He got paid, so he can't. So we'll have to wait for a few years till we read it all in a book, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about Paul Pogba. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about the United board. I'm sure we'll have new owners by then, so it will be interesting to hear Jose's take. But again, you got to take his take with a grain of salt, because he is a salty gentleman.
It's like your salty ex-girlfriend just like going all over your Facebook page and just lighting it up. You know, we basically paid him £18 million to not be able to do so. Took away her Twitter access, blocked her on Facebook. But he still finds a way to throw some shade, right? He was on TV and he was still throwing shade, like indirectly, doing as much, you know, pushing that line, which is coming up against suit.
He basically said, like,
less on Pogba, more on the club. He did criticize the club.
He basically couldn't get Pogba to, like, get in line. That was, like, the top issue, right? And he has a point about the club and the management of the club because, you know, the board deserves better. And the board should have a better plan for the team. And that's how it should work. It's not black and white. There's always someone who's right, someone who's wrong. And, you know, when it comes to Jose Mourinho, he's probably more wrong, but he does have some valid points. And as United fans, we kind of got to take those with a grain of salt.
Let's focus on the Norwegian girlfriend, sir. I like her a lot more.
All right. Next article, Neymar in tears after suffering injury ahead of Manchester United Champions League match with PSG. I saw it was an ankle roll. Unsure how serious this is. Either way, I'm not rooting for PSG injuries here because I'd like to beat them full strength. I don't want any excuses. I do know that if Neymar misses this match, which I doubt he will based on the footage I saw, it might make a difference, but I'd rather beat him straight up. And the way we're playing, I think that we're the better team going into that match. What do you think?
No, there you go. You never want to root for anyone to get injured. Never. But he's a big loss to them. I do think it's a close one, bro. It didn't look that bad, but they are acting like him and Verratti are both going to be out, and those are two big players for them. But they're a good team either way, bro. They're going to, you know, have a lot of attacking options on the field.
They're fake news.
They have Mbappe. They have, what'd you say?
They're fake news in it. This is like a smear campaign, so they can
I think they're
out there
bullshit pretending
by United.
You know, that too. Hopefully that does happen. The smoke United part happens. PSG, they're an excuse-making kind of team, bro. Like, just like a watered-down Manchester City, even worse. So let's smoke him. Let's smoke him with Neymar, without Neymar, with Verratti, without Verratti, and just show Mbappe what he's missing so he wants to come join us in the summer.
Awesome. And our next article is talking about that director of football that we need so much. Manchester United face battle to land Atletico Madrid's Andrea Berta as new sporting director. Atletico Madrid is apparently offering the Italian a huge new deal. They don't want to lose him. We are trying to pry him away. And it also says here that Paul Mitchell is another leading contender. So we do have some contenders. This is being leaked to the press. There's probably a director of football coming in, hopefully before the summer, so we can get our summer transfer business sorted early. We should be thinking about that and getting it done early. But again, a lot of smoke here, not a lot of action. And the longer you wait, the harder the summer is going to be.
No, and you know what? You have a big decision you're going to have to make in the next couple of months anyway about whether or not to retain Mr. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So he should be involved in that, whoever you're making as director of football. I mean, I hope it's going to be abundantly clear.
It's not a big decision anymore, right? I mean, Ole's
making playing
an
like this,
easy
it won't
decision,
be. It would be the most obvious decision ever. It's just like he's the clear choice to be made. But either way, sir, we need a director of football. This guy, Berta, is supposed to be pretty legit, what he's done and the signings he's made at Atletico. Paul Mitchell is also pretty legit, also a Manc, which is like, you know, double bonus because he can get around and hang out in Manchester, bro, more so than, you know, an Italian that's used to the sun. So I'd be cool with either signing, but I think Paul Mitchell is my number one pick.
There you go. Jumping into our fan questions, we'll get to the question. We had one fan comment about you and me on Twitter slating Manchester on our last pod, and I think it was misconstrued a little bit because we were only making fun of Manchester as it relates to retaining the top football talent in the world, like the Ronaldos of the Ronaldo wants to be on his yacht in the sun. You know, for the record, me and Alex think Manchester is a fine town. We love going there. They got some great pho, great fish and chips, some great pubs. And I really enjoy my time in Manchester, sir. You know, my only comments were, you can't argue about the weather, right?
No, he's not always arguing about that. You know, I think if you went through all 99, sir, you might have some not the nicest things you've said about Manchester, but I honestly think I'm going to defend John here on the pod. I'm going to defend you on the pod, sir. You can call it once. But I think this is because of Ronaldo. I think Ronaldo left because of the weather. And then you are always kind of salty at Manchester for pushing him out with all that, you know, all that cloud coverage. So,
yeah, no.
Manchester's in our heart.
Well, the reason why I say is like a Rashford isn't going to leave because this is home, right? But for someone who, you know, didn't grow up a Manchester United fan, or for someone who didn't grow up in Manchester, the place doesn't have the magic attraction that maybe a Madrid or Barcelona might have, right? And that's kind of what I'm getting at as far as, you know, getting an Mbappe who's like hanging out in Paris. Now, I've been to Paris. I've been to Manchester. You know, I don't
slightly
mind either.
Different.
I don't mind either place, but I imagine if I had like, you know, 40 million in the bank and I'm a pro footballer, Paris might be the draw, right?
No doubt, sir. I think some clubs, once and for all, we're settling in on the America Red Devils podcast. Manchester is our collective heaven. We love this club and we love the town that it's in. So it's, if anything has been shot over the bow, bro, it's all in jest.
There you go. And getting our question here, Grant from Houston, Texas. Where do you guys stay when you go to games in Manchester? I thought this was a great question. It was timed very well. We are actually headed out soon. I want to say 2 weeks across the pond. And we do it different ways. So each year, we try to go to a home game and then an away game, and we rotate every year. For us, London is usually our home base because we have a bunch of friends in London. There's a bunch of other games as well.
It's easier to get to from the West Coast.
Yeah, it's really easy to get there. The flight's cheap coming from Oakland, California. I think we paid, $450 round trip direct to Gatwick. We get Airbnb in Kensington. It's a great part of the town near Hyde Park. Lots of great restaurants, lots of great pubs, and the tube, you can get anywhere. So, you know, the train to Manchester is about 2 hours. I've stayed in Manchester to watch games, which is great. But for us, kind of taking the train from London to Manchester for a game is easy as you like. You usually end up sleeping and snoring on the way back pretty hard.
Whatever it takes, mate, whatever it takes.
But this trip coming up is unique because the way the Champions League draw and the rankings worked out, the game ended up falling that Tuesday, so we're actually going to head up to Manchester, and for the first time, we're going to be staying at the Lowry Hotel. The Lowry Hotel, which is Jose's his previous home, and where the players... Yeah, he lived there, right?
For like 2.5 years, bro.
Yeah, so...
Crazy.
You know, don't think I'm going to see Jose there, but we're going to stay at the Lowry Hotel for a night when they play PSG, just so... I think the players are staying there the night before as well. It'd be nice to see what the players experience and see if we can maybe cross paths with Paul Pogba, give him some encouragement for the match, you know?
That was our motivating factor. You know, we didn't have any horse in the race about where to stay in Manchester, but anywhere where the Manchester United players stay is good enough for us. So that was kind of our thinking with this decision. And, you know, we're going to hang out at the bar, have our gear ready just in case. You never know.
I'm saying one of the most exciting things we're going to do is we're actually picking up a giant football flag, sir.
Custom official made.
Barmy flags. A shout out to Barmy flags. We're going to get American Red Devils custom flag. We'll get a bunch of social media posts on that out. We'll be posting about our trip across the pond, the matches that we're going to see. Hopefully the winning streak is intact. Hopefully we do not jinx it. Although if there was a team that was going to pip us, it'd probably be PSG. Although at the rate the boys are playing, I'm feeling pretty confident going in that match, just like I felt going to the Emirates.
This team, I mean, has an aura around them where they feel like, you know, we're going to play our game, and that might be enough to beat any team we face. So PSG is going to be a worthy opponent, you know, tough team with a lot of talent, a lot of big cash book players. But if we're playing like this, bro, we can beat anybody.
And finish up the pod here. Amazingly, this is our 100th episode. I never thought we would actually make it to 100 episodes, sir. It's been a hell of a ride. I think we did a podcast on my wedding day. I did podcasts for my honeymoon. You've been on the road, I think, in Hong Kong. We both got two little recording devices here, and we bring them whenever we travel so we can get the banter up to you guys. It's been a hell of a ride, sir. Take us back. I mean, why did we start this pod? What were we thinking? Bring us back. How did we get going?
Well said. What were we thinking? You know, if it was still the dark days of Mourinho, I don't know if I'd be so happy to show up every day and, you know, do the work necessary to put this podcast together. But it's been such a reward now that United has turned around to playing exciting football. And we've gotten so much more engagement, actually, from the American Red Devils fans around the world since that change was made in the last 5 weeks. So the last 5 weeks have felt surreal. It's been incredible. 100th podcast, Eric. I almost can't believe it. But why did we start? I think our wives were like, why don't you guys just not talk about this at dinner all the time? Find another place to talk about it. And I think we could just do a podcast.
We go to dinner with our wives, you know, being good mates here out in the bay. And we would just be talking about Manchester United, and they'd just be like rolling their eyes. And, you know, I did kind of notice, I was like, whenever we hang out, all we do is just debate Manchester United like all the time. And I was like, we watch every game together pretty much. I was like, we should just record it on a podcast and then upload it to the internet and see what happens. And it's been a pretty amazing response from you guys, our listeners, the American Red Devils around the world. We really appreciate you. And now whenever we start talking about Manchester United in front of our wives, they just say, save it for the pod.
Save it for the pod, sir. And I couldn't. Wiser words have never been said, but literally, 100th episode, we've been listening to in over 100 countries around the world. We've got huge viewership in the U.S. where we're all based, and we're humbled by the response we've gotten, which has been incredible. But even you, sir, if you start bickering at me about Manchester United, I just say, save it for the pod, mate. You know, and we literally do. We keep it all, we leave it all for the pod. And this is the best release possible.
We start going to Manchester every year, too, and we're like, oh, well, we go every year, we watch all the games, like, might as well just get two microphones and start talking smack. So appreciate everyone who's downloaded the pod. You know, keep the fan questions coming. Keep the banter coming in hot. I love people calling us out on Twitter. That's my favorite part of the day. You know, why are you hating on Manchester? What's the deal with this? You know, so keep the banter coming. That's what this pod's about. Just two guys sitting on a couch, just talking smack. But let's jump in. We had a great week for downloads this week. And we got our top city, sir. Fort Worth, Texas, coming at number one. Do not mess with Texas. Los Angeles, California, number two. Happened to be here this weekend. And Jamaica, New York. What up? What up? Cool running, sir. Hit us with number four.
Sir, always a pleasure. Number four, Worcester, Mass. I think you're going to finally learn how to pronounce that. It's not Worcester.
That's where Worcester sauce is made, sir.
You got it. Yeah. Look for the Twitter reaction you get from them. Number five, Singapore. What's going on, Singapore? Number six, they don't like us calling Atlanta the Hobbits, you know, especially when Ole's my height at 5'10".
The Shire.
But Oslo, Norway, number six. Keep going, sir. Finish us up.
Dude, my favorite place on the list, Chirac. Coming in. Number seven, London, United Kingdom. We shall see you soon. Number eight, San Bernardino, California, SoCal, coming up the list, sir. And number 10, our hometown, San Francisco, California. Unbelievable. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. And if you guys want an American Red Devil sticker for free, sir, what do you got to do? What do you got to do to get a free American Red Devil sticker?
Sir, all you got to do is message us on Twitter or send us an email at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with a review, hopefully glowing, talking about how much you love our podcast, or some, you know, constructive criticism about how we can improve it
on iTunes.
Send us on iTunes, of course. Send us a screenshot, and we will send you a brand spanking new American Red Devil sticker that you can, you know, put on your water bottle or go troll one of your friends who's a fan of another team. You can go put it on their water bottle, but
you
can slap
it on
stickers.
Their car if you want, just to mess with your roommate who's a Liverpool fan. We also just created a new American Red Devils badge logo. You can check it out on our website. And we just ordered some new mugs, sir. Looks great. And you can get that at our Sunfrog store. If you visit www.americanreddevils.com. You can pick up any merch with our different logos, assortment of logos on it as well. And if you go to our website, you can support us on Patreon. Yes, we have a Patreon page, and this is huge. Right now, we have 4 patrons. We really appreciate you guys that have signed up to support this podcast. Right now, you guys are covering the hosting costs of what we pay every month to put this podcast on the internet, and it's going a long way to help us out. Like we said last time, we're getting close to selling those ads, and I'd much rather have you guys support us than us peddling some noodles like Eddie Woodward would have us do, sir.
Eddie would be proud, sir.
Yeah, organic support goes a long way, and for those patrons who signed up, appreciate you very much. This has been a crazy ride. The season's been insane, and man, sir, pack your bags because we are headed to Manchester. We're going to get you tons of hysterical content, a lot of audio from the bars, singing the songs. Sir, we got to brush up on our songs. There's a lot of new ones. Somehow Fred's in the new Ole's at the Wheel song. I don't think Ole has started Fred. So I'm not sure how you get in a song when you don't even get started by the manager.
Hey, maybe that'll get omen. Maybe he'll come to form because he's in a song now. But sir, 100 podcasts, here's the 100 more. And let's keep that red flag flying high.
Sir, what are the odds we see Fred in any of the matches we watch when we're there? I'll make that bet with you.
20% chance.
I'll bet you maybe
off the bench versus Fulham, sir.
Hey, all American Red Devils, keep up that hype train. We are rolling strong. 8-8. Ole taking us to the FA Cup, top 4. Sir, Champions League? I don't know. We shall see. As always, we'll be kicking a blue.
We fought in the snow and we fought in the rain. We saw the Ciao.